Well, we're back, and it's Dykes and Mikes. I'm Elizabeth with Deborah and Danielle Camogue. Thank you for coming in, Danielle.
It's been great.
A pleasure.
Sitting in this hot little airless room, I'm about to pass out.
Getting dizzy, sweaty, and oxygen deprivation, just like a discotheque, huh?
No, not quite. The lights, overhead lights here are bad. There's
no
there's no beer.
No strobe, and no really loud music.
No, so I guess can't hear anything. You guys have the headphones.
This is true, and that's how we maintain control
power
of the show, exactly. But we're talking about constructs of identity in popular music, and you had a point to...
Well, I was going to say that, I mean, even though things have become... things have changed a lot in that, I mean, it's possible for... I mean, even going back to David Bowie in the early 70s, it's possible for boys to play with gender identity. It's possible for boys like Boy George to dress up like girls. It's possible for, you know, certain bands to be really obviously homoerotic. Frankie Goes to Hollywood having all these, like, leather boys in their videos, and it's incredibly homoerotic, and it's just very obvious, like, these things have a real gay sensibility. And that's okay, and you see that a lot in popular music now, but you still don't see, like, this sort of lesbian or dyke equivalent, and I don't know when we will see this, see more of a sort of, especially a more hip urban dyke sensibility. Mm-hmm. I think you do see that a bit in certain texts, like the George Michael Freedom video, which has, we were talking about supermodels, it has the top five models in the world in this video, along with a couple of boys thrown in who we don't really know who they are. They don't have this sort of personality.
They're sort of inconsequential to the whole dynamic of the video.
They are. I mean, they just sort of pop up, you know, every now and then. But the way the video is constructed, it's like all these girls in different parts of what seems to be this apartment singing, sort of in a sort of ecstatic kind of poses. And the way that the shots are cut together, they look like they're sort of looking, you know, this eyeline gaze match shots, and they look like they're looking at each other and checking each other out. And there's this really hot scene in the middle where these women pierce each other's fingers with needles, and then they suck not each other's, but their own drop of blood, and it's just incredibly hot. And there's this, I mean, that's one of the few things I can think of that has this, like, real, obviously, I mean, it doesn't matter that it was produced by men, it has this real sort of dyke, and a very sort of dyke kind of homoerotic sensibility.
I remember something that quite shocked me seeing on television. It was Katie Lang singing from the Red Hot and Blue album, her love song.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And she was standing tousled in the middle of her bedroom with her hair sort of very up, and obviously she'd been crying at least for 48 hours nonstop. And her face had been under lips, so that the bags underneath her eyes were exaggerated. And she was looking her worst, no question of it, and deliberately so. And it was a static camera shot of Katie Lang in the middle of her tousled bedroom, sobbing more or less the words of the song about her lover having left her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, when I think of a gay woman artist who's quite openly so, although she doesn't make political statements except for PETA, the ethical treatment of animals.
Yeah,
but,
cows are our sisters.
Yeah, well, yes.
It's true. If you play Western Stars backwards, you hear cows are our sisters. It's a message. Yeah,
really?
You do. It's yeah.
She borrowed from Revolution Number 9.
No,
is that
it's
it?
Yeah, it's true. I heard it on CBC. It's totally true. Do that. Spin your record backwards at home, and you'll hear cows are our sisters.
But that was interesting because it was a video of anti-aesthetic, and that was done by a gay woman artist, and that did have a very specific film aesthetic. That was in a lot of ways, after the sex, what happens.
Which video are you talking about? The Red Hot and Blue video was directed by Percy Adlon.
And it's the one where she's in her bedroom in a static shot? And she's wearing a nightdress.
No, this is the one where she's washing. This is sort of, it's a PWA kind of point of view. The one that, it's in the, from the Red Hot and Blue collection.
Okay, maybe it was definitely a Torch song, and it was
probably from the Owen Bradley sessions, Shadowland.
Possibly,
because those
yes.
are really mm-hmm. seriously torchy.
Yeah.
But it was
an anti-aesthetic aesthetic, and it was really interesting in that way. And
but, I mean, Katie Lang's an anomaly, though, mm-hmm. As far as what we're talking about. I mean, she's not, you know, popularity-wise, you know, in the ranks of a George Michael or a Madonna or even anybody who's at the top, currently at the top of American pop charts or on heavy rotation on Much Music or MTV. So, I mean, she's like one, what you could see as one sort of positive example Although I would say just as easily that George Michael is a totally positive example too, and that I love that video, and I've probably worn my copy out from watching it single frame at a time.
Well, I wonder if we can write the supermodels and ask them to replace the copy.
Well, hey, listen, you know, the rumor is that one of the supermodels in the video, here I am like being totally unethical and probably outing someone, but that Cindy Crawford is apparently a big dyke.
Well,
and that just makes it much more exciting to watch. Well, and that she appeared on the MTV Awards with George Michael, and they were just talking about how cute each other was and who had the cutest butt. And
I wonder
who
had the better stubble on the chin. Anyway, it's 3 to 8, and we're going to end with a piece of music that you selected, Anvil.
Yeah, it's The Anvil, which is a song by Visage, an early 80s British synth-pop band. And The Anvil was probably the most famous leather bar in New York, so this song is about this, which this bar actually was closed down because of as a result of the AIDS crisis in New York, it was forced to close down. So it's sort of a historical and it's about a certain scene from New York in the 70s,
so we'll
the
go
leather
right into
SM scene.
Well, it's 3 to 8. It's Dykes and Mikes. We've been with Danielle Comeau talking about virtually everything very quickly about disco. Good night.
We are now going to talk to, I will reintroduce you, Jackie, drummer, Slap Happy Five, currently, and on tour with La 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 Human Steps, and you're sort of in between tour. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to do, we thought maybe chronological order might be a logical way to start, anyhow.
Right.
So, beginnings.
Right. How did I start playing drums?
Yeah.
I think that the fact that I was left-handed had a lot to do with it, because I figured it was the easiest instrument that you could switch around, and I tried playing guitar, but it didn't work out, so I started playing drums.
Well, they have left-handed guitars, don't they?
Yeah.
I see.
No, but if I had friends who had guitars, they were all happened to be right-handed, so it
didn't work.
Seemed like a little bit of an effort.
So how did it exactly happen that did your parents, were they into you?
Yeah,
drumming?
Really? When I was about 16, I got a snare drum for Christmas. And I think there was a little cymbal, and I played on that to start off with, and eventually got a drum set. And
they didn't particularly mind you playing the drums?
No, they were very, very nice about it. I was very loud, but, you know, they were never said that they minded.
Whatever's making you happy.
Yeah.
What did you drum to while you were drumming? Musical influences is what I'm after.
Oh,
here.
That's what you're going for. Okay. Well, at that time, I guess what I listened to a lot was the Patti Smith Group and Iggy Pop and Velvet Underground, things like that.
Good drumming stuff.
Well, no, it's funny because I never really listened for drumming, or I never had a favorite drummer or an influences as far as drumming goes. It was mostly the music as a whole.
Mm. And when did you start drumming in town? What was the progression from in the basement of your parents' house to bands? Was that hard?
Was that hard? What do you mean?
Well,
oh,
I
see.
A band.
Okay, I thought you meant was that a hard question? No. no, it wasn't actually. It was one of those things that I fell into. That I had a few friends who knew some people, and we just did a show. And I always managed to find a place to play here and there with people.
Mm. So, what bands have you been with in town?
Oh, a lot.
Really?
Yes. Well, most of them fairly short-lived. The first band I was in was called the Army Brats, and we were all women. Well, I was 17 or 18 at the time, and that lasted for one show. So everybody's familiar with them. And let's see.
Did that have anything to do with all of you being an Army Brat?
Army Brats? I think 3/4 of us were Army Brats.
Hmm, okay. So. And you still don't know what that means, eh? The Army
No,
Brat?
No, I have no idea. I think we're saying that the word brat has a kind of negative connotation.
You could say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Army.
Army has... yes. Well, in my mind, anyway. But, yeah, and then after that, I played with a band called White Ranch, which lasted approximately the same amount of time. And then I played with a band called Just for Mom, which I stayed with them for about 2 years. And I don't know why I stayed with them for 2 years. They were just definitely not... I really didn't fit in. I was the only female, and they were very concerned with makeup and hair and image and things like that, so I should have known right then that I just did not fit in. So, and then I played with a band called Bubblegum Army for a long time, and then I took a break for about a year, and then I played with Captain Crunch, and at that point, that was an all-female band as well. And then now I've been playing with Slap Happy Five for a while, since last summer.
And you're the only female in that band?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the... describe that a bit, I guess. An all-female mm-hmm. band. What's the... Is it a different atmosphere?
As far as working with...
Yeah, a working relationship. And
yeah, I wouldn't... No, I... That's a... As far as my experience goes, it really depends on the individual.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, though, if there was something maybe that was mm-hmm. a bit different in terms of, you know, all women sort of organizing.
Thankfully, yeah. Well, thankfully, I've never been in a situation working with male musicians where, I mean, if they were of a certain character, then I just wouldn't have anything to do with them, so.
What about, okay, that's the band. What?
So I was just going to say that I can understand the attitude of certain male musicians. I don't understand it, but I see it around me.
Like?
A certain reluctance to accept women playing, especially drums. You know.
Well, that was my next question, in fact.
Oh, it was. Well, yeah. There you go. Mind reader.
What, but will elaborate a bit, though, on that. Just
elaborate, that's a good word.
The specifics yeah. of female drumming, being a female drummer. And, okay, you've said that there's reluctance, maybe, to mm-hmm. to take you on. Well, has that been...
Well, I think that when I started playing, it was... the only woman that I knew that was playing drums in a rock band, which was the woman from Velvet Underground, which is late 60s. And now the novelty sort of has worn off. There's a lot of really good female drummers and a lot of really good all-female bands. But there's still the whole scene is steeped with a certain sexism. You know.
Do you find it hard to work with? I mean, do you just kind of...
Oh, I guess I've learned to deal with it in my own way.
Bashing drums will get rid of any tension, I suppose.
Yeah.
So what's happening with Slap Happy Five now?
Well, we just finished recording. We did 8 songs, and we're all fairly happy with it. So we're going to see if anybody else likes it, send it around a bit, and see what happens.
So it's on a cassette? Is that what
yeah.
happens now?
Yeah. Well, it could be put on something else. I'm really... I don't know all the technicalities of these things. But
well, just
like,
because...
For example, it could be... You know, put on a CD, I assume.
Right.
It has that potential.
Okay, and as opposed to vinyl.
I mean, technically
vinyl.
It does. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess so.
The
yeah.
demise of vinyl. Hey, it's
yeah.
Okay. And are you playing around a lot?
Well, we've been doing shows here and there, and we're looking around for some shows right now, and hopefully we'll be playing soon. We played a couple of times last month. We went to Toronto and played in Toronto.
To sell out crowds.
Oh God, yeah. Sell out crowds. Yeah, all 5 Torontonians who come out on a Tuesday night came and saw us. Yes.
And loved it, and bought the cassette after.
Right.
Yeah. Do you... What? Well, actually, I was going to say describe the music, which is crazy, because we, of course, have a tape, so we could maybe play some of it.
Right.
And this might be...
You don't want to hear me describe it, that's for sure.
No, I?
No.
Okay, so we'll play a Slap Happy Five tune, and of course here the focus is on the drumming. So when you're listening to this tune, listen to the drums.
Thank you.
We're back. I should say the time. This is Dykes on Mics, CKUT 90.3 FM, and it's about 18 minutes to 8 o'clock, and we're here with Jackie, and we are about to launch into a big break.
We're about to launch into a big break.
A big break. Jackie's okay. Big break. Oh, I didn't say that very well, did I?
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, that's not what I meant to say at all. Jackie has been touring with La 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 Human Steps, and I think this is a... just one of those really good stories. So why don't you tell it? How did that happen? You get a phone call and...
Well, I heard through an acquaintance of mine that they were looking for a female percussionist. So not thinking that I would get it at all, I went down just because it was very close to where I live. And I figured that it would be nice to see where they hang out, where they rehearse and meet some of the people. And I went in and I really didn't take it very seriously, and they called me back a few times, and I kept going back, and then there you go, I got it. Was that embellished enough?
No way.
Because you're talking about what a great story this is, and
you're just being too modest or something, understated.
No, I'm just not embellishing.
Well, my version of the story goes more like, and I won't do the whole thing, but just in terms of somebody. Getting a break,
right.
Somebody who deserves a break getting a break.
Oh, well,
you know,
that's
and
nice.
Yeah, and I told this story to a number of people when I heard that, because it was just so nice that somebody who's been drumming around town for years and years and years gets a break like this, and it's away you go touring and getting paid money and hotels.
Yes.
What about the show? Maybe you should just explain a bit about the show and what you do.
Well, I wear a funny suit and army boots, and I run around a lot, and somewhere in all that I play drums. So it's fairly sort of a theatrical kind of a visual sort of a thing. Kind of a visual sort of
a thing. Yeah. Something that's kind of hard to describe on the radio. You're playing for dancers, though. You're drumming for dancers.
Well, actually, the most of the show is comprised of... music that was written specifically for the show by various bands like Skinny Puppy and Einsturzende Neubauten. And it's pretty good, eh? I just spat that out. So they've written actually completed sort of pieces of music, and what I do is try and add percussion that doesn't really get in the way of a completed song. So it's sort of on top of already written music. It's pre-recorded music that I add percussion to, but there are also segments of the show where it's just the drums and or just the guitar. There's a guitarist as well, and that would be more of an improvisational thing where it's not the dancers following the musicians, but the musicians improvising to an already choreographed dance that is being done by the dancers. So for me, that is the more challenging aspect of the show is to just have the drums and the guitar, and you know,
The dancer.
And the dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there is this, there is a segment as well where it's just you, the drum, and your heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work exactly?
Oh, boy. Okay, well, there's a little thingamajig that I wear, and it picks up the frequency of my heartbeat. Heartbeat, yeah. And this is transmitted to a little kind of a thingy bop that I carry in my pocket. These are all technical terms.
Yes.
And this signal is then transmitted to some sort of a machine that turns it into the sound of a heartbeat, and this is transmitted to the audience.
Over the
PA
system.
That's right, yeah. So it's basically not really my heartbeat, but it is the frequency of my heartbeat. So it is the rate of my heartbeat. And the premise of this is that as I start playing drums, I'm standing up and I'm playing on a floor tom. And as I start playing drums, obviously my heart rate will increase. So my drumming speed will increase, and I can sort of play with that. And as I get sort of more involved, I go faster and faster, and I can kind of slow it down and speed it up. And what's really nice about that part of the show is that I really don't know, you know, what I'm going to do at all. And sometimes it works better than other times, but it's a real fun little.
And is somebody dancing while you're doing that?
Yeah, at one point after I've basically accelerated up to my limit, a few of the dancers come out and do a choreographed thing, and I sort of play off what they're doing. They don't pay much attention to me. It's sort of, instead of having dancers dancing to music, it's sort of musicians kind of complementing an already mm-hmm. constructed dance.
But I guess some attention is paid to you when it's ripped right out of your shirt.
Yeah, that's
that must be kind of. I mean, that involves you. Well, I mean, it involves you quite more than yeah. different points in the show.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, you're sort of on the periphery, and the dancers are central. But there is a few segments of the show where
mm-hmm.
That point where one of the dancers walks up and removes that from your shirt, and another point where you just walk from your drum set right between the dancers.
Oh,
and
yeah, I forgot about that. That's true, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
there's
I think
a couple of moments where
yeah.
you're right there involved with
what
them.
What the idea is to have me in as many places on stage, using as many different types of drums and as many different sort of body positions as possible, and just to have me run around. And at one point, I sit down at the front of the stage and play with brushes on a snare drum, and then I'm up doing something somewhere else. So it's sort of a cornucopia of drums is what it is. So there you go.
the difference between drumming
Sorry,
and a band.
Sorry, was that too long a word?
That was a good word.
I'll keep them short. I'll keep them short.
Yeah, you just do this. I don't know what you're saying. Drumming in a band and drumming for dancers. Now,
yeah.
when the tape was on,
mm-hmm.
you described that as really fun drumming.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
quite different from.
Yeah, that it's technically more challenging to play with Slap Happy 5. It's completely, I can't, it's almost like apples and pears, sort of, because the drumming that I do with La 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 is basically concentrated on toms, and it's fairly simple with an emphasis on stamina, and with Slap Happy 5, it's drumming. I mean, that sounds terrible, but it's,
well,
you know, you've got, you use like a, I use more of maybe what I've learned over the years or whatever. And it's
in terms of technique. And
yeah, and the fact that I'm not exactly a really big fan of industrial music. I mean, this is the music. Slap Happy 5 is music that I've chosen to play. It's music that I like, and this goes along the lines of what type of style of music that I would listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with La La, it's the music. It you know, it's more of a visual thing.
The theatrical elements.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
And it is. What about the dynamics of the company, the touring? And you toured
mm-hmm.
with them for a while, and you're
mm-hmm.
going to be going away again. And
mm-hmm.
what's that like to be just kind of transported from your
it's,
life here? And
yeah, it can make you feel a little bit guilty, I think.
Really?
Because, yeah, it's interesting. You get to sort of... No, you get used to traveling, I think.
People working together, and is that kind of? I guess it takes a little bit of
right.
time to kind of suss out your place in.
Yeah, like the new
company.
Kid on the block.
Yeah,
I was. Yeah. what's nice is that because you basically work together and live together, you don't have a separation between the two, so it's almost like a kind of a camp or something, like a summer camp. And because you're in countries where you might not be familiar with anybody there, that you tend to really, you know, stick together and do everything together, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and everybody has a roomie, so.
Do the dancers, does it require more, do they have to practice more while on tour? You know,
oh
do they
God,
have
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you, yeah. say, would have more free time to sightsee? And
yes. I have a lot of free time. In comparison to the dancers, I do very, very little. They work incredibly hard. So, for example, the day of a show, they're working 2.5 hours before the show, and then they do the show for 90 minutes, so they're... And I just kind of walk in there and go, you got a drum, I'll hit it, and there you go. So it's really not that much of a strain for me, which makes you feel even more like you're, you know, sort of not worthy of
it. No, the guilt part.
Yes, that's the guilt part again, yeah.
Uh-huh. What is it like to work with Edward Locke? Well, I don't know what we've heard and read and sort of, you know, that misogynist kind of leaning. What what was your take on that?
In terms of, I can only speak for myself in this, and that I've had absolutely no problems working with him. That his style of working is very much like, let's see if you would like to do this, and if you feel comfortable doing it, let's see if it works. And if you don't feel comfortable with it, then we won't do it. And he's always suggesting different things for me to do. But I think that everybody in the company has to have their own opinion of how they feel they're being represented, or what their working relationship is with him. So, as far as I'm concerned, I've never had a problem with him. I mean, I do have my own opinions about the show, but in terms of a professional relationship, it's fine. Yeah. And this is not, you wanted dirt, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I was asking a question. I expected that response, or your response.
Yeah, diplomatic as always.
How about, where are you going now? Where are you heading off to?
At the end of April, we're going to Barcelona, and then Israel. We'll be playing in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And then South America. We'll be playing in Rio and Sao Paulo and Mexico. So, and that's till, we'll be back here for a bit, and then, and that's till July.
And then you're off where? Where's the next? In July?
July is I think it's open. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So when with them you sign on for short periods of time,
mm-hmm.
contract wise.
Right.
Do you like
right.
that?
Well, I I do, because I don't think that anybody in the company is willing to, well, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. I lost it there. I just went away.
Well,
I went away for a second, but I'm back.
You're
now.
Back?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm
great.
Back.
So let's just pick it up right there.
Right. Okay. Now, where are we going to pick it up? Where was I?
Do you like
the
idea of short-term contracts?
Okay. Yes, I do personally. Yes, because
that was quick. See?
Oh, there you go. Right. It's just as easy as that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't have to feel. I can imagine how that would be incredibly mm-hmm. difficult to sign for a year,
right.
and just.
And it's a very it's not a very sort of stable type of thing, like.
The tenuousness of touring. Mm.
Yes, the tenuousness of touring.
Yeah, see, I got a few myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I suppose
I
you
hit
sort
you
of
with cornucopia and you get me back with tenuousness.
So I would say that's very much living for the present in terms of...
Yeah.
You go to Tel Aviv now and you mm-hmm. tour there and you do the South America stint, you come back and then see what's happening
right.
in your life here. And
that's right.
I mean, it's you've got a band to juggle here as well, so
mm-hmm.
that must be a little bit difficult for them.
Yes, and they've been really, 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 really nice about it. Mm. And they've been really great, 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 great.
Well, I guess they like you.
Wow. I like them a lot, too, so it works out well.
How about this making a living business?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, this is the first time in my life that I've ever made a living playing drums.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the only time in my life that I'll ever make a living playing drums.
Well, that's what's so interesting about an opportunity like this is you get to travel and you get paid and you get to play drums, and the experience
right.
must be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as kind of a long-termish thing, I guess there's no real security.
No. Especially because this is something that it is one of those things that comes along that I wasn't really looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really want to play the type of music that I really want to play obviously is not ever going to reach that type of a scale in terms of a big business or a world tour. So it's, you know,
get your glory while you can.
Oh, glory.
Well, it must be exciting to be on stage like Place des Arts, to come back home and play in Place des Arts. And
yeah,
there's a lot of people in there.
There's a lot of people that fit in there. That's
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Well, I would have thought it'd be really exciting.
No, I'm not saying it's not exciting. No, it is. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's exciting.
Okay. And but back to making a living. Now, yes, you don't really expect outside of this tour necessarily to be, right. you know, the sort of music you want to play. You don't really expect to, you know, go on a world tour in the near future.
Right. So that that would, the way I've been doing it before this came along is going to school, working, and playing in a band, and, you know, working at different places, laundromats and
going
factories and things.
How about the librarian thing? You could be a librarian if
I chose. If I so chose, that's true.
So I sort of think of that as a bit of a trade that maybe mm-hmm. you could fall back on sometime if you had to.
Yeah, if I decide, I'm almost finished, so if I decide that I will complete it, it's something that I can always pull out sometime, but...
If you don't forget the Dewey Decimal System.
Well, I really have forgot. I have no idea. I don't think I really learned that much. But I'll get this thing that says I did, and that can maybe get me a job somewhere.
Oh, anyway, yeah. Well, you want to? You're gonna drum though for a while. It looks like.
Yeah, I'll be drumming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That takes us to the end of the show, and I promised all kinds of announcements. But the thing is about these announcements is that they're not happening till the end of April. So I'll just announce them next week. And we're going to end off with another tune from Slap Happy Five. And again, pay attention to the drumming.
It's called Oops. I just thought I'd say that.
Thanks, Jackie.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
She was invented in 1959 by Ruth and Elliot Handler, who founded the Mattel Toy Company. And she was born out of the fact that they were watching their little girl, Cool Barbie, as it happened, making or dressing figures in a picture book. She was putting clothes on, clipping clothes on, sort of toy or product you can still buy, I think, in some places. And they thought, what a good idea.